right now. It is time to bring in none other than Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with appraisals. You can find them on the web, tqag.com. That's Treasure Quest Appraisal Group. Ladies and gentlemen, do we have the whole band together?
Yes, we
you do.
Finally, at one place at one time.
I know.
You guys, I don't know. Did you get my text this morning?
I you know what? I have my phone charging.
Wait a second. Let me see this.
Let me see if it came through here.
Well, you can ignore it.
There it is. It says, at 6:55, we started experiencing total internet outage. Skype via cell phones. Oh, internet is backing. It's backing. So, all right.
Yeah. Damn spell check.
I know. Damn iPhones. All right. Well, where would we be without our iPhones, though, really, when you think about it?
That's right.
All right. So, now what's going on?
Well, let's see. I'm got the really fun email from Jill about the piece that was stolen, the Bruegel painting that was stolen from a town along the Italian Riviera. It was from a church, and apparently they got the heads up that somebody was going to take it, so they decided to reproduce it, but as a fake. And they put it in there. And so when the thieves came in to take it, they took the fake and the real painting, which we don't know exactly where it's at this point. I'm sure it's safely tucked away somewhere.
An undisclosed location.
In the rectory, no doubt, was saved. So, and I said to Jill, I said, this actually begs more questions. The first question that I had was, who knew that this was going to be happening, and how did they find out that this was going to be happening? And if they did find out it was going to be happening, why didn't they arrest the people, lie in wait, and wait for them to come and take it so they could arrest them? But apparently the thieves got away not realizing they got a fake. And...
it's in the news now. If they're reading the news, they know.
Well, for me,
that's if they
there was a bigger question, and that was, does that mean that the priest, the parish priest who knew about this, has to go to confession and confess the sin of omission? Because, you know, we Catholics, we're very serious about our sins.
Well, and, boy, are you serious about your sins. Oh, I'm sorry, folks. Now, I apologize. I just couldn't help myself. I apologize if I offend
anyone. Well, and after all, this is Lent, which is the season of penance. So he better be doing some heavy Hail Marys.
All for the greater good. And I think in that sense, it's, you know, that's what it all was, is to make sure that justice prevails, you know, that they find out who's behind that and get them in.
Well, you know, the more interesting question to ponder is, this has happened, this painting has been there for hundreds of years, and untouched. Nobody's bothered it. And not just this painting, but paintings all throughout Italy.
Okay.
Europe.
And Europe. And you just wonder... What is protecting them?
Nothing. But what you should be wondering, really and truly, and this is a sad but true, which I think Tim may be more, I don't want to say comfortable, but available to, is you actually don't know, because of the way these works of art have been unprotected, in quotes, for so long, you actually don't know what's real and what isn't. What's
Absolutely.
Already been stolen and what where are copies? And that is just one of those pieces, those wires you just...
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, a number of these things are not actually paintings. They're frescoes. And, you know, that people have...
Hacked off the wall.
Yeah.
And they have had to repair. But But along the same lines, this last week, we had somebody come approach us with two pieces that they believe are older pieces, you know, by a very famous artist. And, you know, Greg and I have to a lot of times deliver news that says, yeah, that's one of the most faked artists that's out there. And without any scholarly background, and, you know, of course, there's a dubious story behind how they acquired it. And it just was passed down. And this was the family folklore. That's all well and good. But until you can't just, everybody's hoping it's that lottery mentality that they definitely have this great piece. And it's difficult. That's
where, well, you said the key word, Tim. The key word here is scholarly. Scholarly. Right. Right. Recognition and identification.
Because
without that,
well,
it's just
without
not...
it, yeah, you're right, Greg. And because in this case, they had some testing. They tested the paint, and oh, it's from the period and all that. And both Greg and I said, well, all that proves is that there was old paint that was used. It's not in the hand of the artist. And a lot of these tests that are out there. Yeah, okay, somebody could have used old paint, or it could have been done a while ago. That's fine, but it doesn't mean that it's by the artist. And that's where you're going, Greg, is with the scholarly background, is saying, and that's difficult because people become very litigious, and a lot of the people that have been recognized as experts in the field don't want to offer. They do not want to opine because... They are fearful of the liability. So we're kind of at this crossroads for some pieces. And, you know, I had to tell the individual, you've got homework to do here before we can help you market this at all, is seek out that scholarly advice, because without it, it's just a nice piece.
Dead in the water. And one of the things, unfortunately, and this has happened in many other areas, is that the availability of pictures and screens have educated, I use the term loosely, people into believing that it's just as simple as a...
Right.
You know, but it looks just like it. Yeah.
It's on the internet, so it must be real.
Or I've found the comps. It's like, yeah, you just have no idea, because there have been really, as a friend used to say, pardon me, God, there have been really adroit forgers for a long time. You know, you want a copy, right. you can get an extraordinary copy.
Right. You know, but there were also, for some artists, they had a number of students that were working with them, and they were just as good, if not better, and good at forging their signature. Not forging, but doing it.
Right,
because
and
that
school
was part
of.
Well, the,
but there's that Rembrandt, you know, which I find is sort of interesting. I haven't read the, but they're recently, and I only know this from the New York Times magazine, because I am not not an old master's scholar by any stretch, but apparently there is this Rembrandt that the son, it's a family of dealers, and the son has maintained and is doing quite well, proving that it actually is. But the father has been like, you know, darling, I love you, but
right,
you know, good luck with
I
that.
I don't think so. Yeah, good
just,
luck with that.
Just,
but in other, it's a museum, an art museum in Maryland. No, isn't it Connecticut? I think it might have been Connecticut. Anyway, there was a Van Gogh that was in their collection that they thought was real, and then somebody said, no, you better have this looked at. So they pulled it out of their exhibition and out of the public view, did a lot of research, did some X-rays where they found that there was a portrait of Van Gogh behind it, and showed it to several other scholars and researchers of Van Gogh's work. And it has now been declared, yes, it is authentic. and they've had it cleaned, and they are going to put it back out on public display. So those stories that you hear, it's like winning the lottery. Oh, somebody won the lottery. Oh, I could too. Well, it's no, the odds of that are very huge against you. And it's the same thing against all of the different paintings that are out there, is that you do hear the one or two or those finds, those flea market finds that turn into a $100,000 piece at auction. Those do happen, but it's not, that's one in a million, because then there's all the other stuff that's out there. And that's what we seem to help people understand what it is that they have, and that, yeah, a lot of the information that you have here is just great hearsay and just doesn't really prove anything. You need a little more backing, a little more meat on that to make it so.
Well, I want to go back to the first one.
There you go. Yes.
Sounds good to me.
One. That's a good one, Marshall.
Like Vito Corleone was involved in the first one.
I think so. And now somebody's going to be hit because they have a fake.
That's exactly right.
Well, don't let's not forget the lost Caravaggio that resurfaces.
Right.
Regular, the one that was stolen in, what was it, 69 or 79. But it's, you know, speaking of.
It's, look, right. I mean, these things circulate.
I have the question. What's going to happen now? Are they going to put the original back or alarm it or what? There are questions from this,
Greg,
that but I always have more questions.
Greg, the answer is no one cares or knows.
And the reason is because this is another wires that you don't want to touch. I don't know whether it is arms, drugs, and art that are the most launderable. But art is right there in the top.
Oh yeah.
So these really massively high prices that are being paid, you know, you don't know where that money's going, and we don't ask because so it's pretty, you know, putting your pieces together and taking your questions. It's pretty clear that. Let's just say safely, something was going on, and that's why no one cares. It's like, okay, yeah, you guys were going to take this. We put you in. Sorry about your luck. Meanwhile, back to the regular business of buying and selling objects. You know?
Well, I have. There was a little offshoot of this story when I found out that it was in Liguria. And it kind of takes us on a little slight culinary tour. Do you know what Liguria is famous for?
What?
That is where pesto originated. The dish pesto back in Roman times and in Genoa. And Liguria is the part of Italy along the Italian Riviera, goes into Monaco. It's along the Italian Riviera, and that's where we get what we know today as pesto. So that's a little culinary addition to our art and art and food. You know, it kind of goes together. So
all right, well, Godfather tells us we're out of time.
Okay, well, we gotta go.
All right, Vito. All right, Michael.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
Okay. Have a good week.
Have a good week.
We'll talk to you next week.
Take care, guys.
Take care. Bye.
Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, TQAG.com on the web.